Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Can we be there?
Now we are here.
Think of the time.
You don't have to think about it. It's right here. It's right now.
All in love so strange.
Speaking of who's here, are we going to have Drew Locke and Dalton Risner at training camp in 48 hours?
Oh, I love it.
Forget 48 hours.
Oh, man.
Forget Thursday. The Broncos have their first team meeting tomorrow.
Welcome to Bronco Land.
Oh, thank you, John. I love it. I love a little, you know, training camp holdout. Who doesn't like a training camp holdout, Zach? We all should hold out in training camp every once in a while.
Spoken like a true fourth-round holdout.
That's right, baby. Mm-hmm. How many fourth-round holdouts have there been? I was not one of those guys.
Not a lot.
Look, I'd look at Dalton Risner and say, hey, hold out, buddy. Hold out and just wait. Wait and see what happens with Drew Locke, and you should make more money than him. You picked one pick before him.
He's a quarterback.
Ah, but that's not what his agent's saying. This guy's going to be your starting left guard. Can the Broncos really afford for him to miss a lot of time?
Absolutely not.
So you're absolutely right. And you look at the situation, and the Broncos are in win-now mode, aren't they?
Allegedly, yeah.
I think they have everything that they have shown us and done has signaled, look, we're trying to get back on track. This is not rebuild, and we're not trying to retool for another, you know, 2 years down the road. That's not what they're doing. They're trying to get things back going now. And the thing that signaled that the most to me was giving Chris Harris $3-4 million.
Sure.
Right?
In addition to going out and grabbing Joe Flacco, not playing your own quarterback, in addition to spending $85 million on the first day of free agency? No, you're right. That's how
they
acted.
Chris Harris was under contract. They didn't extend him. They just gave him $4 million for this year. They are trying to win now. You have a rookie left guard who's supposed to play a prominent role this year for you and getting you back going. And he might be a left guard right now. He might be your starting left tackle in a month. You need this guy on the football field. It's a new scheme. You got a new offensive line coach, a new offensive coordinator, a new quarterback, and you got to get this thing going in the right direction. Dalton Risner has a lot of leverage in this situation, and I think he should use it, especially if Drew Locke's not going to come into camp. They could be a nice little pair. Hey, you know, once Drew Locke gets done, I'm sure Risner will be right after. But you just don't know how these things will go. I think Dalton Risner is doing the right thing. We'll see if it continues and how long it will continue. But certainly you don't have a lot of opportunities in your professional football career to use leverage and to use what you have to get the most of what you should get. And so for Dalton Risner, I think in this situation, he should use it.
Well, as much as I joke around about it, you did, once upon a time, a holdout before you ever played a snap of football. You were a fourth-round pick. You were one of two fourth-round picks for the Baltimore Ravens. And your agent, is it Mike Smith? Is that right?
Rick Smith. Mike's his cousin.
Okay. Rick tells you, don't show up. Don't sign what they're asking you to sign because of why. If you could summarize that again for
us. They just weren't, you know, where I was slotted and where I was drafted, they weren't coming close to the signing bonus I was supposed to get. And they said they didn't have enough money in the rookie pool. They gave most of it to the first round pick, yada, a bunch of excuses. And long story short, I ended up buckling after a couple days of missing training camp and ended up saying, just forget it, I'm going to camp. The other fourth round pick already signed. We were supposed to hold out together.
That's Ezra, right?
Mulatalo, I'd never forgive you for that. And he buckled, he signed, so I'm sitting out there on the island by myself, fourth round draft pick, holding out. And so I just said, well, screw it. Let me just sign this stinking bad deal. And I wish I never would have done it.
Is that right?
I never would have done it. No, yes, I should have never signed that deal. And so that would be my advice. Don't sign a bad deal. You know your worth and your value. And if you're Dalton Risner, he has a lot more value to his football, to the Denver Broncos, than I did to the Baltimore Ravens. The fourth round wide receiver. I wasn't in their plans to start. He's in the Broncos plans to start. We already know that. He's a starting left guard.
That's right.
The domino effect from that and him not being there, they can't allow that to happen. They just can't allow it to happen.
Now let me be totally honest and vulnerable here. Uh-oh.
Before,
vulnerable.
Like, I was under the assumption. Now, I know and I understand that there's different rules at play or different factors at play when it comes to a quarterback. But after when the CBA changed and Sam Bradford couldn't make $100 million on his first contract or whatever that was, $50 million or whatever it was, when they changed the rules and they went to a slotted system in my head has always meant that it's sort of predetermined.
Right.
And I'm reading in the Mike List column from 9 News. It says, according to the NFL slot system, Risner is scheduled. Now, that language, scheduled, predetermined, again, scheduled to get a 4-year contract worth a little bit more than $7.1 million with a signing bonus of $3.214 million. Locke will get a 4-year deal worth a little more than $7 million. So Risner, $7.1 million. This is over the life of the contract, 4 years. Risner, $7.1 million. Locke is a little over $7 million. Okay, so we're talking about a difference of less than $100,000, which, again, in NFL money, you find in the couch cushion, with a signing bonus of $3.119. So, again, the difference of signing bonus is $3.214 to $3.119. It's a very small difference. I just didn't like realize that there's like enough wiggle room that even though Locke is picked behind Risner in the slotted system, that they can manipulate the situation where he gets more money because of the position he plays.
Yeah, it's a little bit odd because they put this system in place, right, for you not to worry about holdouts. There's nothing really to hold out. This is what you're supposed to make. This is what you're going to make.
Right.
Here we go.
Right.
You have seen a few holdouts, and that's because of terminology in contracts.
Right.
About, you know, if you get released now, you know, whatever you make for a future team, it comes off the books of the other team.
Right.
And players don't want that.
So you can't double dip.
Can't double dip.
Right.
Players don't want that. My first round contract's supposed to be fully guaranteed. If I go to another team, who cares? I'm still getting that money. It's not counting against that money. What money I'm making on this new team. So you'll see some contract holdouts because of that. Bosa was one.
That's right. Yep.
With the Chargers, that was part of the back and forth with him. That's one of the reasons why he was a holdout. So you usually don't see it when it comes to money. So I don't know exactly why and what the situation is. And quarterbacks do usually get a little bit of a bump. They do. And it's always been that way because they play the quarterback position. I remember when Chris Redman with the Ravens, he was drafted, I think, second, third round, and you looked at his signing bonus compared to the guys around him, it was a lot more because he played quarterback.
But I always, and yes, I've always known that to be true. I just thought there was less of a, strong arm in that category with agents with the slotted system.
Right. No, you're exactly right because you haven't seen it. We haven't seen that at all. Maybe another quarterback that held out in the last 3, 4, 5 years. I can't recall. Maybe there was one, but you don't see it. And now you possibly could see it from a second round quarterback. And then now it's affecting the guy that was picked right before him because, you know, he doesn't want to make less than that guy. And I think it's smart of his agent. I think it's smart of his agent to kind of wait and see. Maybe we can get you a little bit more money. That's what you pay the guy for.
That's right. That's right. I have an important question that needs to be asked pertaining to Drew Locke and Dalton Risner.
And there's some breaking news on that.
We'll get to it next. All right, so we got some breaking news. And if you're just joining us and haven't heard the news, that broke maybe about an hour and a half ago, maybe, that the Broncos could have two different second round picks, Dalton Risner and Drew Locke, holding out in training camp as we're getting set to kick off on Thursday. And in fact, tomorrow the Broncos will have their first meeting. We do have breaking news on that. It looks like Dalton Risner has agreed to terms with the Denver Broncos, one second round pick down, one to go for the Broncos.
Yeah, coming from Nikki Javala here, looking at her Twitter, agreed to terms with Dalton Risner. So he'll be there tomorrow
Looks like he'll probably sign that deal sometime this afternoon. And then now next is Drew Lock. We'll see what happens with him and if it gets done. I'm sure it will get done. You know, you don't see a lot of these, and there's certainly a reason why you don't see a lot of these holdouts anymore, is because everything is structured. Everything is kind of slotted to where you're drafted. And he's a second-round quarterback. And now that Dalton Reisner goes, you know, once one man goes, the next man's going to follow. And that's what happened to me in my situation. When we had two fourth-round picks holding out, my partner signed. I was left out in the cold by myself. I had to sign. So I figure the same thing's going to happen here in the next probably day. Maybe you'll hear it here on our show here shortly.
Now, I went and tried to look back at when that was happening with you and the Ravens. I don't think the internet was invented then, but I was trying to find references, and Nikki said
Bill Gates was still in his basement. He was still trying to figure a few things
that's
out.
That's right. And Nikki did said this is rare but not unique. And again, Reisner just signed, but she did reference another case in 2011, the first year of the rookie wage scale. Okay, and quarterback Ryan Mallett went number 74. He was taken one spot behind Stephen Ridley, the running back at 73. So almost an identical situation happened in 2011. But you got to go back a long way.
Yeah, but did they hold out? That's the question. Yeah, they got drafted 1-1, you know, one after another, same team. One was a quarterback, one was a running back. But did they hold out? I don't know if they held out or not.
I honestly don't remember, and she doesn't specify in her tweet. But again, here's the most important thing we need to know. Dalton Reisner will be at the Broncos facility tomorrow for the start of the team meetings, and he'll be in training camp on Thursday.
Big news for the Broncos. I mean, we talked about the first segment. I mean, you just can't have him holding out. He's your starting left guard. You're trying to get things back on track. He's a rookie. He needs every day that he can be out there, and practice is very important for all those guys, but especially a rookie.
Let me ask you this, and we got a couple questions about this on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Is there an effect in the locker room with a guy holding out, especially not a first-round guy, a second-round guy, or even if you want to spin it personally to yourself, you're a fourth-round guy. Did you feel a little bit of, like, whether it was eye-rolling or resentment from some of your teammates within the locker room?
There was never really any resentment. I mean, I felt awkward going in there because I was a fourth-round pick, and but nobody, you know, they give you a little bit of a hard time, but just kind of jokingly. I think back then you saw more and more holdouts than you do now, obviously. And guys now, they understand the business side of it. So, you know, that's the best way to approach it when you're in the locker room. Let him take care of his business. That's his business, right? If he wants to hold out, let him hold out, because each individual is, you know, his own business. And he has to look out for the best interest of himself and his family. So you kind of try to stay away from another man's contract and what he's going through, because he thinks it's in the best interest of himself. And so guys understand that, and guys realize that. So there's no hard feelings in there. You saw Pittsburgh this year, which surprised me.
My mind went there, too, when you were saying that.
It really surprised me and disappointed me.
They acted like jerks toward their teammate.
They did. And I think they were disappointed because they had got a sense that he was going to be reporting and coming back, and he didn't. And so they were disappointed with that and angry about that. But still, I mean, that's he's got to look out for his best interest first and foremost,
sure.
Because the team's not.
Right.
The team's not. The team's going to look out for themselves, the organization, first and foremost, and then the player second. So a player's got to look out for himself before he looks out for his team. That's just the nature of the game. Because if not, this league will chew you up and spit you out, and you'll be left out in the cold with, you know, not as much as you should.
That's right.
So every person has to really look at themselves and do what's best for themselves. So that's why I was just really disappointed with the Steelers and the players and how they reacted, and even Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, and if you remember the Steelers players, it was the offensive line. It was the guys that worked directly in conjunction with Le'Veon Bell. Then they started going through his locker and taking his stuff and saying, oh, get these free cleats and da-da-da.
Yes.
It was just a weird, bizarre situation. But a lot of things in Pittsburgh were bizarre a year ago. But, and I'll say this, in response to your initial answering of my question, Just to piggyback, I believe that guys understand the landscape of the business more than ever before. You hear support for each other more than ever at any point in the history of the league. So I don't think, into the response for the RamosLaw.com question, I don't think it'd be anything like that. It's all, get your money. Go get your money, because please believe, when I'm in that situation, I'm going to do what's best for me as well. So they kind of advocate for each other more than they, and we saw that just this past offseason with Chris Harris. Any dude who plays in orange and blue asked about Chris Harris, he deserves it. I'm rooting for Chris. He deserves, go get the bag. And that's sort of just the climate, typically.
Right. Yep.
So, all right.
Looks like Risner's going to be signing, and now Drew Locke's the only one that hasn't signed. So I think for the Broncos, that's great news. Great news for the Denver Broncos heading into camp that your starting left guard is going to be signed, and you don't have to worry about any kind of holdout lingering for whatever reason. Drew Locke, to me, he's not as important as Dalton Risner.
Right here, right now, no, he's not.
Absolutely. That's correct.
But if you're him, there's not that sense of urgency. There's just, and again, like, there may get to a point where, Locke's just like, get me in there. And I'm not saying I know what happened, but I could picture Dalton Risner picking up the phone, like, calling his agent, dude, I need to be in camp. Let's figure this thing out one way or another.
And that's what happens. You start getting antsy, and your family starts saying, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And fans start, especially now, you got Twitter and stuff coming at you, and it's just like,
Well, look at it. He signed about within 2 hours of the news breaking.
Right.
So he's probably like getting hit up. You said.
Oh, yeah. And then like a coach will call you. And I mean, I remember Brian Billick called me, and I was like, wait, what is going on?
What did he say?
Oh, he was just like, you got to realize where you were drafted. And I'm just like, okay, coach, just like, talk to my agent. I don't know, but it was definitely, I was in a tough, tough situation.
Did you feel a smidgen like guilty?
I felt like, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
Like, I might not make this roster type of situation.
Like, we're already beginning on the bad foot.
Right.
That's not just calling me.
Right. That was not a good feeling at all. I mean, I was, you talk about panic, and that's the type of pressure that I started feeling. Like, let's just end this thing. I just got to get to camp. I don't care if they're screwing me or not. I got to get to camp.
All right. As we head into camp, I have a question. In the Stokely and Zach era, we're heading into our third training camp. What are some of our favorite memories that have transpired out there at UC Health Training Center? I have a handful, some that you may have even forgotten, and we'll get to them next. Let's take a look back here before we move forward. And by the way, Stokely and Zach's analysis of Training Camp 2019 Road to Redemption is presented by Windish RV. This is our third training camp together. And I was thinking back this morning to some of the stuff that just kind of happened, funny stuff. The one that sticks out for people is our incident with Marquette King, who, and I heard the drive yesterday, Tommy didn't realize that, like, any of this happened.
And Tommy was like MIA. He was like underground.
Right. That's right. But he didn't realize, like, he didn't realize any of this happened. He didn't realize that Marquette King made the Gruden video. It just kind of was what it was. It was a situation that kind of got blown out of proportion a little bit. But it was about a year ago that we had beef with the Broncos punter.
Yeah. Well, I think it got blown out of proportion because of Marquette King and how he handled it the next day. And then he went after D-Mac.
Right.
And so then it created a life of its own. It would have just kind of been dead. But when he started taking it to the next level, then that's when all of a sudden it's on ESPN because, wait, why did he go after that host from Denver?
Right.
Well, because of the interview with us two. But that was great. I loved it.
I love it now. I didn't love it as much in the moment. Like, I'm glad that it happened.
You're right. You're right. I didn't. I guess I should take that back. It was a little bit awkward. After it played, because you go out to training camp and it's like, that's not what you want to, you don't want to be the storyline of training camp.
Right. And that's what it was for about 48 hours.
Right. And so, but then after, looking back, I'm glad that we were part of that.
Right, sure. And I want to make a couple things clear because things have gotten lost in translation. The only reason we wanted to talk to Marquette King is because he had framed himself as this like punter with a personality.
Right.
That's it. We won't go try to talk to Kobe Wadman this year.
We probably won't make the list.
But Mark
Atkin
was a former Pro Bowl. He got personal
flags.
He has
swag.
Right. He does the horsey thing. That's the only reason we wanted to talk to Marquette. And then he sandbagged it. We shut it down after a minute and a half. And that interview ended up getting played in ESPN New York, ESPN Los Angeles, ended up getting played on certain national outlets. And
another thing about it that pissed me off was how the, you know, all of a sudden the next day he goes out there and he's doing all these interviews and he's being Mr. Nice Guy. And then it felt like other media members were taking shots at us like we didn't handle ourselves the right way. Like,
that's right.
We should have known that he doesn't like talking football.
Don't like talking about football, really.
He likes talking about wine and, you know, rap music and all these other things. Like, we should have known that. And that's what really, like, I still have a few names on my list.
Right.
And media members out there.
You know, and D-Mac made that clear yesterday, too. He's like, no one can, even in the moment. See, the D-Mac incident happened later in the afternoon. We had already gone. So there was only, I think, one other support staff from the fan even present there. So he was saying that even in the moment, you had this guy physically challenging me, and no one did anything. Everyone just kind of stood there, and I wish I was there, not to like step up to Marquette King physically, but at least support D-Mac there, because he's out there on an island, and he's getting Marquette King is getting restrained physically. I just wish someone, like, we're a group out there, a group of media, and I wish someone else had sort of stepped up and been like, okay, like, you know, got in the middle of them or whatever. I have thrown hands on a number of occasions.
There we go.
And that wouldn't have been an occasion. But you're right. There was a it was almost like I was in an instance one time that I was in a summer league basketball game, and me and my teammates were blowing this other team out. We were hooting and hollering, and I dunked a basketball, and I got up, I pulled myself up on the rim and slapped the backboard, hit the ground, and did the Kenyon Martin, pulled my jersey.
Did you hit your head with the two hands like you used to do in high school?
I used that was in my younger years. But I was acting like a damn fool, right? I was 17, and all my boys were right behind me. The other coach comes out in the middle of play, grabs the basketball. He's like a local legend. He like grabs the basketball, tucks it underneath his arms. The refs are letting him do it. And all my boys were around me, and I turned around. And none of them were there. None of them. They're on the other side of the court. This dude's in my face. That's how this felt. We're like in this moment with this jerk, and I was the jerk then, but with this guy that's acting like a jerk, and everyone acted like we were the jerks.
Right.
So, whatever. Yes. It kind of was what it was.
Yeah.
Again, glad
it's funny
glad
now.
It is funny. Marquette King will, and I still don't even think he's signed with anyone. I think he's just kind of not worth the headache anymore.
That's right. That's right. And that's what happens. You know, sooner or later you wear thin on teams, and especially if you're a specialist, and he wasn't performing that well.
Right.
So his play started to decline, and it just, teams look at us like, it's not worth it. That 5 extra yards that we might get or that we used to get, now we're not getting it, plus the headache of not knowing what he's going to do. No, thank you.
And we got to remember, Gruden showed up and cut him before he even, like, Marquette King showed up to the facility with a box of Snickers, if you remember, for John Gruden. And Gruden's like, I'm not even meeting with him. Just get him out of here.
Yeah, I heard them talking about that yesterday, and D-Mac was like, we should have known something when Gruden cut him. But Gruden was coming in there. He wanted his own guys. He's cleaning house. That stuff happens all the time.
You can find
good quality players when first-year coaches get to a team because they want their own guys, and for whatever reason, they're trying to cut salaries and all these other things. So, to me, that wasn't a huge red flag because they turned that roster over.
Sure.
I mean, they traded Khalil Mack. So, I mean, that doesn't make him a bad player.
Good point.
They traded Amari Cooper.
Good point.
I mean, they were starting fresh and starting over. So, to me, that wasn't a huge red flag. It just, he just was.
And once he made
not
the video.
Very good.
Like once Marquette wound up on the front page of ESPN for the second time in 4 months, and he's the punter who's underperforming, it was just like, I think everyone around town was just like, we're done. Like, enough.
Ship him back to Oakland.
Ship him back to Oakland.
I know I like more oxygen.
Oh, my gosh. Uh-huh. Feel free to mix those in whenever.
Yeah. This training camp would be a good time for some of those.
I haven't heard from Marquette in a while. Another one of my favorite moments is when Vance Joseph was up there at the podium, and this involves D-Mac again. We're standing there, and you're in the back of the scrum, okay?
Yeah, I just like to lay low. I don't really ask a lot of questions. Just kind of hear what's going on, and maybe once every blue moon, I might ask a question.
Right. Well, D-Mac asked a question almost on your behalf.
Right.
But he was at the steering wheel. He goes, ask the question to Vance. He goes, Vance, there has been some NFL veterans. Now, at this point, he turns his body to you, who's standing to the left of him. He said, there's been some NFL veterans, turns his body, and almost points at you with his forehead. It's like,
and I think he named me by name.
I thought he only did it non-verbally. Well, either which way, he made it so obvious.
He named me. He called my name out. Yes.
He did. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Some NFL veterans, Brandon Stokely and some other guys, something like that. So he threw my name out there.
and said, have, you know, alleged that you're running a soft training camp.
Right. And I'm sitting there like, wait, what? I have not said he was running a soft training. And you want to insult somebody, call them soft, right, or right, tell them their training camp soft. And that, I mean, that's an insult.
Oh,
if I want to ask the question, I'll ask the stinking question. Don't ask it on my behalf.
Oh my goodness.
And I'll tell you this, D-Mac has apologized over and over about that. He felt really, really bad. Cause afterwards I'm like, dude, like,
what are you doing?
Keep my name out your mouth.
Right. Just
keep me out your mouth.
Speak for yourself, Darren.
It's another one that we look back on. It's really, really, it's a great memorable training camp moment, especially for us, because you were there, and then he felt really, really bad about
it. He was red-faced. Like, yeah. I can't believe I just did that to you.
Yeah.
And he should have been.
I got one that you don't have on your list.
Is that right?
Yes.
We got that. We got that and a sound bite that came out of training camp. Two of them, in fact, that still get played to this day that we'll remember for a while. We'll get there next. All right. Stoke and I are just kind of taking a look in the rearview mirror before we start training camp 2019 Road to Redemption, which will officially kick off on Thursday. Team meeting tomorrow. All the Broncos will be there, maybe outside Drew Lock, who we're understanding is holding out, still waiting to hear on that breaking news. Dalton Risner has signed his contract, so he'll be there tomorrow, expecting to hear very soon about the Drew Lock news. But until then, you and I were just sort of going through some of our favorite camp memories of the last couple of years doing our show together. And we talked about the Marquette King incident. We talked about D-Mac throwing you under the bus with his question. We've talked about the next one a handful of times, but just quick summary, if you hadn't heard it, you and I both drink coffee on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
You and I both get coffee from the Broncos on a day-to-day basis. They have a little, you know, that little pump there, and you and I both went during a break to go get coffee at the same time, maybe 1 hour left in the show or so,
yeah,
and looking for a little boost. I went and filled.
I was first, and for some reason you like knocked me out of the way, and you got a red card for that, and then you went to go get the coffee, and of course right at the very end it started.
So I was first, you were not first, and I went to go, and yes, it does make that like exhausted last gasp,
yes,
of coffee.
That's the worst like the thing you can hear during training camp. Is that
right.
Noise? Like, oh my goodness, no, that just did not happen.
And you almost like you couldn't let one of us be happy. Like, if you were going to be unhappy, we
right.
both had to be unhappy.
Yeah.
So you were very unhappy that you didn't get your coffee.
Right.
So you proceeded to take water.
And this was like after the next break.
That's
this
right.
This was when
That's
we're
right.
back in the tent.
After it was like setting in.
Because you kept on poking the bear. You kept poking the bear and making little comments. And so it was irritating me.
Poking the cub. And so you took the water, sprayed it in my coffee.
Poured it in there. Yeah, pour some water.
And I
had to
like,
water
look
it down
at you
for
like,
you.
Did you really just do
I
that?
I feel bad. I still feel bad to this day for doing
you
that.
You don't.
I do. No, I actually do. I shouldn't have done it, but you, like I said, you just kept on and on about it, and so I just felt like I had no other choice.
All right. I am going to make sure that doesn't happen this year. I'll have my own reserve of cold coffee in my little cooler this year. One of my favorite ones is you were proposing the idea. Don't forget, it wasn't too long ago that Kirk Cousins was being floated as an idea here in Denver. And you had said steadfastly, don't occupy those two lanes at once. Don't have the highest paid defensive player in the league and the highest paid offensive player in the league. if you're going after Kirk Cousins, you need to trade Von Miller. But the narrative around town just became Stokely wants to trade Von Miller.
Stokely wants Von out of town. You know, I mean, that's the way this thing goes.
And of course, that's what made it back to Von in the game of telephone that is radio. And Von came and found you. He was asking, where's Stokely?
Yeah.
Almost like Marquette King asking, where's D-Mac? It was, where's Stokely? Where's Stokely? He found you and just poked his head in our tent and said, Stoke, they haven't traded you to Mile High Report yet?
That's right.
And that was such a zinger. And he may have even been fed that by Patrick Smythe, because that was hilarious.
It was a good one.
It was a good one. You have one that is not on this list?
I do. Our famous, I mean, this might be more famous than the Marquette King interview. Our interview with Garrett Bowles.
I put all my arms and legs into and let him trust.
That is more famous than our Marquette King. That was during training camp.
Yes, it was. That piece of audio has gotten probably more play on this show than any piece of audio. Because I asked him, I remember when I asked him, like, you know, what do you think about playing with Case Keenum for the first time?
And I put all my arms and legs into and let him trust.
And that's what he said. And I remember even as he's saying it, you and I both had to, wait, what?
Legendary.
That is a legendary soundbite. There's another soundbite from training camp that gets played, two of them. One, River Craycraft, little white receiver, looking up to another little white receiver from the past, and he realized who you were, that you were here, and he came over after a practice one time with his family. And wanted to meet you and take a picture with you. We had him in for a quick interview, but he was so nervous that when you said, thanks for coming on here, he said,
thanks, Brance.
Thanks, Brance.
I've been called worse. I can promise you that. So I'll take that.
And then the other soundbite is when this one you couldn't make up. This one, a lot of these are like totally unprompted. Trevor Siemian is at the podium. This is 2 years back, and he is asked such an open-ended question. What former Bronco would you like to play with? And we did the top 60 since 60. I mean, the options that are out there are unbelievable, but somehow, some way, this is what came out of Trevor Siemian's mouth.
Brandon Stokely. He's a good golfer.
Like, in the moment being like, what? Like, what? It was like the Flacco press conference. He's like, I just noticed you're sitting there next to Stokely. I'm a whole hell of a lot more excited to play with Cortland on the front end of his career than Stokely on the back end of his.
I forgot about that. That was a pretty good one by Joe. Yeah, in the moment.
Totally unprompted. He's like, I see Stokely there.
I wonder if he's going to maybe come on my show one time.
That'd be nice. We can set that up.
Oh,
will
he give me the stiff arm like all my other former teammates? Hey, come on the radio. Nah, what? Who? Who are you?
Right. And then finally, I love the time, and this wouldn't be at the top of the list, but when DT came over and like started tickling you and had you in a headlock.
Well, yeah. I mean, it wasn't like a friendly tickle. It was like headlock. Like, and he's got these hands that are like
huge.
Yeah. And he's got a gripper that, you know, you don't want to shake his hand because he'll get that death grip on you. And that's, you know, he puts those paws on the back of my neck, and then he starts like, I don't know if it was tickling as much as like, felt like a knife going into my side.
I'll tell you what, man.
I'm going to miss DT this year. I was thinking about that today. I'm like, that was my guy.
Yep.
I love seeing him out there. I'm going to miss DT this year.
And he'd always come over and say hello and mess around. Yeah. For sure. That'll be, he will be missed. This is just a couple of years. You know, what else is awaiting us in the next three or four weeks? Can't wait. And what a way to kick off training camp 2019, Road to Redemption, with a war room. We kick it off live next.